Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
This episode of the Golf Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, and Arizona. From boosted parlays to in-game odds on every major sport, WynnBET has what you need to win. So sign up today and receive a $1,000 risk-free sports bet. Download the WynnBET app now or visit WynnBET.com and start winning today. And we're also brought to you by PropSwap, America's number one app to buy and sell sports bets. Use promo code SGP on your first deposit and receive up to a $500 bonus. That's PropSwap.com, promo code SGP. And we're also brought to you by PicksWise. PicksWise is the number one app for free sports betting picks, props, and parlays. Download the free PicksWise app now to make your next bet better. And we're also brought to you by OddsCrowd. Are you the best football bettor in the U.S.? OddsCrowd challenges you to prove it with their free-to-play fantasy betting contest. OddsCrowd's give away hundreds of dollars in weekly contests, including the $100 SGPN exclusive free roll contest. And, of course, don't forget to go download the SGPN app, your home for all of our free picks and podcasts. All right, welcome back, D-Gens. It's your boy, Boston Capper, finally back from the desert with the god of golf himself, Steve Shermer. It's fucking Ryder Cup week, baby. Let's go, U.S.
I know, I'm very excited. Now, despite 6 months of efforts of trying to brainwash you to join Team Europe, my efforts are failed. Yes. You are all in for Team USA. It's probably going to be up to me to try and be the devil's advocate to say, why they have a chance. But it's nice to see you back. Yeah. I was worried that you might have ended up in one of those holes in the desert, like the casino. But exactly. No, he in fact is alive and back from Vegas. And why don't you tell the audience? How was it out there? How was it seeing all the boys from SGPN?
Dude, it was a blast, man. So we got out there Thursday night, hooked up with Sean and Ryan and Mush and Bowser and Colby, all in this basically FFPC, had this basically opening night party. My poor wife, in a conference room full of fantasy fucking nerds and a giant screen with me screaming my love for Tom Brady. But the trip got better there from there for her. So she hung out. We did good. I hung out at the sports book. The boys took us out to a nice steak dinner. I lost a shit ton of money with playing craps with Ryan. but we even saw Dick Olson, man. Dick Olson was out there. And,
wow.
Yeah, man. Me and Ryan were at one end of the crap stable, and all of a sudden, he pops up on the other side. He's like, Capper! I was like, holy fuck, what are you doing here? it was a really good time, man. The sports book was super fun. Everybody out there had a great time, man. Sean and Ryan, it's a good time to hang out. Fucking cousin Mush lived up to it and fucking mushed a couple of my bigger bets, but had a nice round of golf with him. Fucking didn't die a heat stroke. So all good, man. You can actually probably still hear the scratchiness in my voice.
A little bit.
I don't know if I'm ever getting my voice back because it never has fully recovered. It finally got better, and then I got into this weekend. I'm yelling at the TV yesterday, and it gets all scratchy again. It is what it is. But it was a nice 2 week break off golf. I didn't watch a single fucking second. I made a couple drunk bets last week, but it was a good little breather. I am ready for fucking Ryder Cup, baby. Fucking Friday. I wish it started fucking Thursday. I hate having to wait till Friday. But
I know. Yeah, that's the only thing the President's Cup has over the Ryder Cup is that it starts Thursday, and then you got the six. And I think for the what the President's Cup also does is they pair up the captains and they go one and one back and forth.
Yeah, they do a draft.
This one's they just hand an envelope to each other.
Yeah.
And then just randomly, you get Patrick Reed versus Rory McIlroy at 2016 or something like that. Best player versus best player. It's not real rigged or anything. I don't know.
Yeah, definitely not.
Definitely. But no, I'm excited too. We are past the Fortnite championship, whatever the hell it was. So two comments on that. I took a little taste on Max Homa at 9-1 on Sunday, so I hit that. And then, but number two though, so that championship always had the best trophy. It just gave a giant wine barrel to the winner. Now it's just the Fortnite logo. They made a mistake. Now
I don't even know what Fortnite is. What the fuck is Fortnite?
It's some security company. I don't know. I think it's some Bay Area like tech security company. So yeah,
sounds terrible.
Whatever. But
I called it Fortnite the entire time.
Oh, yeah. I
heard you call it Fortnite, and I was like,
Everybody did though. Yeah. So I think that joke got pounded into oblivion. So, but yeah. So I think the last time you run the show, they did not finalize the Ryder Cup team. So yeah. I'd give my opinion of it.
Yeah.
So
No. I think it doesn't matter. No, actually, you're right. I think it was offline when I gave my opinion of it.
Yeah. They didn't announce the U.S. side till after the tour championship. So the six were, who were they? They were, Xander, Berger, Finau, Scheffler, English, Spieth. So you got a problem with any of those?
No, I actually don't. Yeah, that's why I was actually on a flight. I was flying out to LA on Wednesday, and I they announced it in the morning as I was getting on the flight from LA to Vegas, and I was like, thank God I'm about to have no fucking phone service for fucking however long. I was like, I don't want to hear the Twitter crying about who should have got picked, who didn't. I got to miss all that shit. I don't think Stricker really could have made a wrong decision. The only thing I'm a little worried about is Brooksy and his knee, but I mean, I think he's a game. But other than that, I mean, yeah, dude, no complaints at all.
Yeah, no. I mean, there's nothing you can do with Brooks. He decided he wants to play, so.
Yeah.
All right, so Europe, though, so his Bernd Wiesberger ended up sneaking in.
He did.
He did. So the captain spots ended up being Poulter, Sergio, and Lowry. You got any problems with that either?
No, absolutely not. Like, if I was back in Team Europe, those are the three guys who I'd want on there.
I agree. I think those are the only choices. So, yeah, I mean, it's a solid European team. It's not the strongest we've seen. I think the 2018 team was definitely a little better. But
they got three and a half guys who I'm worried about. Three and a half.
Yeah, we'll talk about it. Break them down a little bit. So, okay. So where do you want to start? You want me to start with the golf course? You want to?
Yeah, let's do the golf course, man. Fucking. All right. Do it. Hey, before we break down that golf course, man, I got to talk to you about WinBet, which, by the way, I stayed at the Encore out there, and I was in the Win Sportsbook. Wife was behind me playing the slots. Very nice setup. Love the people over at Win. Very nice. But listen, if you're ready to win money and boost odds, WinBet is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia. And we're bringing the excitement of Win Las Vegas to the online sports betting and casino play. Exclusive rewards right at your fingertips. Get in on all your favorite teams, players, and sports from NFL, NBA, MLB, NHL, golf, MMA, WNBA, college football, and more. Great promos, odds, and payouts are happening right now at WinBet. From boosted parlays to live in-game odds on every major sport, we have what you need to win. If you're ready to play, go sign up today and receive a special offer, a risk-free $1,000 sports bet. Download Bet Win. Download the WinBet app and now, or visit WYNNbet.com to start winning. I can't wait till they legalize sports betting in Florida and all these crazy like promos are like available. These sports books just are giving away money. It's insane.
I know. No, we're missing out being in states that aren't available, and we're just getting fraud alerts every time we try and deposit in our offline.
Exactly. I got to call USAA. This is my card. It's fine. It's fine. Now, that's why I had to friggin' start learning how to use Bitcoin so I could fucking make deposits.
Yes, I did make a $500 payment to Books E Plus.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. In China.
Yes, exactly. All right, so let's start with Whistling Straits. So I did an article like to our good friend Jeff Nagel says, a fucking psychopath, where I went through every single hole and I put a flyover video of everything, and I went through and said, all right, which team has the advantage? Before I get to that though, I'll give a brief Clipson's version of that, but before I get to that, so just a brief history of this golf course. So it was built in 1998, basically the Kohler family, just multi-billion dollar family who
the Fawcett people.
I think it's them. So they basically bought this plot of farmland right next to Lake Michigan. It was dead flat, nothing really to it. And then they decided, like, I want to create this Irish Lynx golf course. Well, the problem with that is it's flat. There's nothing there. There's no topography to it. So they just handed a blank check to Pete Dye and said, hey, do your best with it. So they end up jumping. The original plan for this was not to make it so just dramatic and crazy undulated. But Pete Dye just started playing around, and then, you know, he kept going to Mr. Kohler. He's like, hey, listen, if I want to do this, I got to get more money. So kept getting more money and more money. And then more sand came in, and more, you know, trucks with everything came in, and more bulldozers. And they have Korean Whistling Straits, just this resort golf course next to Lake Michigan. It's about 7,400 yards for the Ryder Cup scorecard yardage. It can be stretched all the way to 7,800 yards. You can go on YouTube and try to see guys like you and me trying to play the 7,800 yard mark, and they just get their ass kicked.
Yeah, 7,800. I would. No way am I trying to play a 7,800 yard course.
No. No, well, even like if we play like it's like 6,400 yards, we're going to get our ass kicked just because there's, you know, the only thing you're going to hear all week from everybody is like, oh, there's so many bunkers. And it's true. I mean, it's there's a ton of bunkers. Everything is in the air. You can't bounce the ball to the green. Like if you miss a green, like the ball just goes like 15, 20 feet like towards the beach. It's not ideal for us. And so it's a beautiful piece of property. A complaint about those just because guys like me, it's on the bucket list. We want to go there. Well, the round will take like 6 or 7 hours. So, yeah, the pace play is a little slow. But so getting back to my article, though, what I want to do is break down hole by hole where I thought each team would have an edge. And it kind of rolled into a discussion we'll have later about like how the teams are and what they're good at. So what I came up with, though, is of the 18 holes, the United States has an edge on 8 of them. And it's mostly I came to that conclusion just because, you know, generally on the par fives, the American golfers tend to be a little better than the European guys. So most of the par fives are going to have an edge. But the key thing about Whistling Straits, though, is if you look back at the 2015 PGA, where their approach shots are, it's a lot of wedges, like a lot of driver wedge and a lot of long approach shots. And that's what the American team does well. You know, what the Europeans tend to do well is some of these mid-iron shots where you got to flight the ball low. You know, that can be an advantage for them if the wind is up. But there's not many shots where between like 150, 200 yards of the approach shot where the Europeans take advantage. It's a lot of driver, like 80
yards. Pitch a wedge.
Yeah, or, big, you know, driver like 200 yard, you know, iron shot or some of the par threes are over 200 yards, like, stuff like that. A lot of holes where already with the golf course, it already favors the U.S. And that's before Steve Stricker and the PGA of America start setting it up to favor them. So I think the U.S. can get off to a fast start. A lot of the earlier holes, like hole number 2 is the par 5, pretty straight away. There's also a lot of tee shots that require long left to right, like fade. There's a lot of guys on the U.S. side just hit fades, like DJ, Brooks, Morikawa, you know, Daniel Berger, that's another guy just hits a left or right shot. So a lot of holes that are just a lot of left or right tee shots are going to fit their advantage. Hole number 4, that's another one. Just have like a really long left or right tee shot. Any holes where it's like you got to fly the ball to the green, it's more of the American style. So the first 7 holes, there's 4 holes that are going to favor the United States. And then towards the middle of the round, it starts to even out. There's a couple holes that are probably will favor the Europeans. Hole number 8, it's a longer par 4, but that one's pretty, you know, straight away. They can kind of bounce the ball and flight a mid-iron to bounce to the green. That kind of favors their game. Hole number 11, that usually plays as a par 5. They're turning into a par 4. I'm not really sure why. They should keep that as a par 5 because I think the U.S. have more of an advantage.
Are they moving the box up?
They're moving the tee box up. So it's going to play, I think, like 470 yards. I think why they did it is because if it was a par 5, there's like two like huge rows of fairway bunkers just flying the fairway. And then after that, it's a pretty wide corridor. But the Europeans are going to be able to outdrive those and have a pretty good look to the green. That's another green where they can kind of flight the ball down, bounce the ball to the green. So that hole plays to their advantage. But then after that, though, it's pretty much mostly the U.S. straight out. Like hole 15, that's an uphill par 4. Again, you know, left to right fade off the tee. Got to have a high short iron to the green. 16 is a par 5. 17 is a long par 3, which, by the way, that's going to play like If it's a south wind, that usually plays about 230, 240. So good luck if it's a south wind in your face. You're probably, you know, poor Matthew Fitzpatrick is probably hitting driver on that hole.
That dude's playing singles only.
Hey, they got field 8 guys, all right? And then 18 is going to be tough for everybody. That's it. Unfortunately, the winds are going to be kind of the west a lot. So for Bryson, like, or somebody like that, he might have an opportunity to carry all the bunkers on the left in order to get a shorter wedge. Otherwise, for everybody else, you're going to take the long way around. There's no real edge on everybody on that hole. So, but overall, though, there's more holes that I think favor the U.S. a lot less favor Europe. And that's before the U.S. tends to set up their own way with, you know, easy pin positions, slow greens. Like, they're going to encourage lots of birdies. And I think the only thing that's going to really throw a monkey wrench into that is if the winds kick up, then it could be anyone's game.
Yeah, plus it does. Europe can putt, right? I mean, that's just the deal, right? I mean,
we'll talk about that.
Yeah, that's fine. All right. Well, listen, before we break down anything else, we got to talk to you about PropSwap. It's America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. Go check out the new PropSwap.com, which is packed with fresh features like filtering tickets based on value to find the best odds available, browse the activity feed to stay in the know, a loyalty rewards program that turns sales into extra cash, and much more. So use promo code SGP on your first deposit, and PropSwap will match it up to $500. If you love sports betting, you need to be using PropSwap. With PropSwap, your bet doesn't need to win in order to make money. It just needs to improve. And when making your bets, always make sure to go for two. Make two tickets on the same team or player, so you can sell one for a profit and keep one to leave yourself some skin in the game. Thousands of buyers across the country are shopping for tickets on PropSwap every day. So go get started today by downloading the PropSwap app or by going to PropSwap.com. PropSwap is where America buys and sells sports bets.
All right. Well, I break down these teams. All right. So I did another article. I've been cranking out content.
Nobody.
It's like 48 hours. So I already have three articles up, and it's not even the end of Monday. So...
Oh, so my God, it is only Monday, isn't it?
I know.
Oh, I have four whole fucking days, man.
I know. It's tough. But when we go to the Wednesday betting show, there is a lot of ways to bet on this, but there's a lot of ways that, like, I know, I got to look at the prop sheet and, like, try and find the best ways to do it, because there's a lot of ways to bet on stuff, but I don't know exactly how to do it, like, right now. There's a lot of options.
So on not win bet, but another one that we used to share, it's U.S. is down to minus 180.
Yeah, I already took that number around that price.
Okay, that's all. I just want to throw that out there just in case.
Well, spoiler alert, it's a Wednesday.
But, yeah, whatever. Listen, everybody knows fucking we're hammering the U.S. That's not what they're sticking around for.
We'll tell the reason why we're hammering them on Wednesday. But why don't we break down these teams from, you know, for somebody who's not decided or somebody that is just not inherently biased like we are. So let's start with off the tee. So I'm going to ask you a question. So looking at both these teams, who do you think is better off the tee, the Americans or the Europeans?
Do you mean length or accuracy?
Both, doesn't matter.
Just in general?
Strokes gain, length, accuracy, whatever. He's thinking.
I am thinking. It's got to be us. It's definitely us.
Okay. I don't think it's a huge edge.
I don't think it's a huge edge either, because of Casey sneaky long, Rom's off the tee.
Yeah, I mean, the Europeans, you got Rom. You know, gains a ton of strokes off the tee. You got Rory, you know, Casey gains a lot of strokes off the tee. Hovland's a pretty good driver of the golf ball. Sergio's really good off the tee. Even Matthew Fitzpatrick drives the ball pretty well just because he's so accurate. Doesn't have a whole lot of length, which is probably going to hurt him. But as far as like strokes gained, you know, they got a lot of pretty good guys and kind of match the U.S. The problem is the back end of Europe is just awful.
It's trash.
Yeah, I mean, Lowry loses strokes off the tee. You got Poulter just as bad off the
Hatton
tee.
Hatton loses shit off the tee.
Yeah, well, Hatton's been really bad lately.
Really bad.
Fleetwood loses strokes off the tee, even though he is kind of long, though. They do have a little bit of sneaky length.
They do have sneaky length.
Yeah, like Fleetwood averages over 300. Casey averages over 300. So, like, the notion that, like, the Europeans are kind of outgunned, I think it's a little misguided, but just the back half of Europe is just really bad. And then as for the United States, I mean, they really only have two guys who are kind of their weak spots off the tee. It's Harris English, who doesn't usually gain a whole lot of strokes off the tee, but he's pretty accurate. So that could be all right. And then Spieth, who's just kind of a mess right now without everything. So
I don't know, man. I mean, he's a captain. I feel like he's going to get his mojo back, bro. That's where I'm at.
He's been really bad.
I know.
Like, I mean, he's losing over a stroke per round with his ball strike his last 12 rounds.
Is it over a stroke?
Yeah, he's losing half a stroke with his off the tee and half a stroke with his approach play. It's been awful. Like, he's back to, like, I can't find the center club face Spieth. And that's a problem. But, I mean, everybody else, though, I mean, got DeChambeau, DJ, Koepka, Cantlay, Xander, JT's even driving the ball pretty well lately. You got Scottie Scheffler. If Morikawa can find some form, that's a lot of tee shots off the tee where you can hit a left or right fade that works pretty well for him. So I would say the edge goes to U.S. comfortably.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
All right, how about iron play? What do you think? Oof.
I actually think it'd probably be a slight lean towards just the overall slightly in towards Europe. I feel like we have more top end guys, but I feel like they're a little deeper.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, who do you like on Europe then? As far as like,
so Rahm, obviously, right? Hovland's real good with his irons. Mm-hmm. Casey just can't putt. Sergio, depending on what Sergio you get, he can stuff it to within 5 feet. You know what I mean? Like, I love watching him. I don't know. I don't know. Hatton, Rory. Rory's, if he keeps a wedge out of his hand, he's fine. Mm-hmm. Fitz is a really good longer iron player. I mean, he has to be with his length. Fleetwood looked like shit. Westwood looked good, but he's cashed. Wiesberger plays well with his irons.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's pretty even. Yeah. I mean, they got a lot really, you know, you mentioned Rahm, Hovland, Casey, Sergio, Rory, Hatton. I mean, he's kind of slumping lately, but he's a good iron player. Mm-hmm. Bern Wiesberger is actually a very good iron player over the European Tour. So, yeah, they got a lot of really good ball strikers, the irons. And then same thing with the U.S. They kind of go toe-for-toe for him. You know, you got Berger, Morikawa, but we don't really know what the status of him is.
That right injury, now. Man.
You know, JT, Cantlay, Xander, you know, they got a lot of good iron players. So I think for me, the tiebreaker is just where they're hitting the approach shots from. The Americans overall are a little better wedge players, a little better with the longer irons. Europeans a little better with the mid irons. So, but I mean, overall, it's a slight edge. And I think, like, you know, even though the Americans are quote unquote better with their wedges, I mean, if you give a pro a wedge into from a fairway into a soft green, like I think they're going to be. Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of a tie. So, yeah, I think they're pretty even on paper there. So, yeah. All right, short game putting. This is an interesting one. So you think that the Europeans actually have better putters?
So, I mean, I think they can get wicked streaky with it, and I think they could take it. Like, they can. I feel like those are the guys who can just get nuclear. But, I mean, in reality, Bryson's one of the best putters in the world. JT is shaky as fuck with putting, so I worry about that. Morikawa is a terrible putter. Cantlay, good putter, but he's got to be hot with it. Same thing with Xander. Like, our guys, like Finau, like Brooks is a good putter. Spieth, obviously, a good putter. Berg is actually a good putter, too. But same thing with Scottie Scheffler. I feel like we have lots of shaky guys where I've had money on these dudes, and I'm sweating them draining the three-footer. You know what I mean? Like, which is the opposite of how I feel about, other than like Casey and Sergio on that team.
All right. So of the top seven putters in the field, how many think are American?
Well, let's see. So Spieth, Brooks.
Not Brooks.
Really?
Statistics over the last 50 rounds for everybody. Five of the top seven.
Fuck your statistics. Listen, Brooks is definitely one of the top seven putters. He's a guy who I trust.
He's a good putter. He hasn't been putting all that great this year.
Fine. Bryson. Fine.
Yep, Bryson's on the list.
Cantlay.
Cantlay's on the list. Harris, mm-hmm. English, Spieth.
Yep,
DJ's actually putting really well this year.
I was going to say, is DJ Sneak on that list? Yeah, so.
DJ Sneak's on there.
Yeah, okay.
So really, so only seven. So those are the five. And then you got Fitzpatrick and Poulter were the best putters in the field.
I love watching Poulter putt, man.
But, like, I mean, it's dude, them. Putt. I mean, like, Fleetwood's the only thing he kind of been doing well this year is putting. You know, Rahm's pretty good putter. But other than that, though, you got a lot of dodgy putters on Europe. You got Rory, who's pretty inconsistent. You got Hovland, who's inconsistent. Casey can't putt. Sergio can't putt. Shane Lowry can't putt. He can get an iron grade, but he can't putt.
He can't putt. I know.
Bern Wiesberger can't putt. Lee Westwood can't putt. Terrell Hatton now can't putt. So, like that 2018 team that just demolished us, we're loaded. We're good putters. Yeah, like, everybody on that team could putt.
Maybe I just have scar tissue from that.
I think you do. This kind of reminds it that 2016 team that came over here could not putt. Those European, they got waxed over here. I think on the whole, the U.S. kind of has better putters. I mean, the only bad putters I see on this team is Morikawa. Everybody else,
Scheffler's not a good putter.
He's in a slump, but he's shown he's a little capable.
Okay,
but fine. All right, fine. I'll give you that, Scheffler. Not great.
JT is terrifying.
He's been a little better lately.
Yeah. I mean, fine. But a little better is still not good.
You can kind of hide that. You can hide that in team play, too.
Correct. Yeah, you're right. You're right. You're right.
But I think overall, I think the Americans are better parts. Now, scrambling, though, European waxed the floor with us.
Yeah. Because that's their game, though.
Yeah, so if this turns windy and we're missing a lot of greens and you got to get up and down from bunkers and stuff, I mean, you have a ton of guys who are just awesome from off the ground of Europe. You know, Rahm, Casey, Shane Lowry, Poulter, Hatton, Fleetwood, Bern Wiesberg, a good scrambler too. Just a murderer's row of guys. Just if this is ugly golf,
yeah,
are just they're going to get up and down for par or whatever. And then you got Bryson. You know, you got Berger, you got DJ, Xander hasn't been scrambled pretty well. Morikawa, you got like five or six guys on the U.S. team that just I don't trust off the green at all. So, it sounds like the weather. I mean, it's gone back and forth. Friday might be dicey, but Saturday and Sunday might be really calm conditions. I mean, if the winds aren't up, scrambling's not going to matter all that much. These guys are going to be hitting greens at a high rate. The greens are kind of big there. Yeah. So, you know, unless the winds are kicking up, scrambling might not be all that important, and that probably takes the big edge away from Europe.
Well, that would be nice. I would like to take all the edges away from Europe because I want, like, a complete, just utter domination. Like, that's what I want. Domination.
You want to sweat a little bit on Sunday?
No. No. Okay. I want to dance on Europe's grave. That's what I want to do.
All right.
It's like, come on, man. How long have we known each other? You know that's what I want.
That is true. See ya. All right. Now let's get into the fun stuff.
Okay.
Because we all know that talent-wise and statistical-wise, the Americans are better.
Yeah.
They always are. I mean, like, like in every single metric or number you want to do, I mean, there's more guys won majors on the U.S. team, more WGCs, more FedEx Cup titles, more money, more wins, all that stuff. Like, and Europe is kind of just full of a lot of guys just kind of past their prime. Hmm. So, and, like, I mean, I think the only guy over 35 on the U.S. team is DJ. Everybody else is 32 or younger in their prime. So, I mean, on paper, this should win. But we all know the Ryder Cup doesn't come down to just, you know, stats and paper. So let's talk about a big one. Team management.
Okay.
Who's got the edge here?
Well, I think Europe has the easier job. Right?
Easier job?
Yeah, for team management. Yeah, they didn't have to worry about egos and have to sift through, like, really good golfers and make any hard decisions. They just took the top 12 golfers. That was it. That's all they did.
Yeah, but it's every year with them. I mean, they do a good job managing egos to begin with.
Yeah, that's fine, I guess. I'm just saying, I feel like that their job's easier. Like, they don't have the fucking narratives all, like, the golf Twitter sphere, like, yelling at who should be picking and who shouldn't and all the drama and which ego they have to manage and things like that. So I'd just be, as far as, like, an ease of management job, like, I would, like, managing the European team would be a lot easier than managing the American team.
I think they're just better at it.
Maybe.
They're way more efficient at it.
Maybe.
Like, I've seen you quotes and stories about how they've managed these teams. Like, did I tell you about the Graham McDowell story from 2014 with Paul McGinley?
Yes.
Yeah. So,
share it.
So basically what happened was Graham McDowell, who wanted to play all five sessions, but at Glen Eagles, they figured out that par five scoring was paramount. And listen, Glen Eagle or McDowell hits a, you know, shorter than you and me.
Off
the
box. Exactly. Yeah.
So, you know, Paul McGinley had to break the news to McDowell. He wasn't going to play all five sessions, and he's going to stick him with a rookie, too. But what the Europeans do a hell of a lot better than what we do is they actually explain to these guys why they're paired with people, why they're important. They still try and make them feel valued and appreciated on the team. So McGinley sits him down and says, listen, like, you're not going to play all five sessions, but we're going to stick it to Victor Dubuisson. On all these par fives, he's going to set you up perfectly off the box, and then you're a really good long iron player. You're going to get him close to the green. You guys are going to make birdies all day. And then as a reward for you kind of falling on the sword a little bit, you know, take him under your wing, we're going to send you out first on Sunday singles because you got the biggest heart. And we know that the U.S. is going to throw out their best player, because they always do. They telegraph exactly what they do every single time. Europeans know it. We're going to put McDowell, who's going to be fresh against their best players, probably going to be gassed. And you're going to wax the floor with them. And what ended up happening? Well, Victor Dubuisson and Graham McDowell crushed
them.
They're two foursome matches. And then McDowell, I think, waxed Spieth on Sunday.
He did.
And there's countless examples of just how Europe has this great system. They utilize something called the 15th Club over in Europe, basically a high-level data analytics team that just they optimize data for the best pairings, matching for the golf course, where they got to take advantages of. So there's nothing they're not going to be prepared for other than maybe this golf course setup.
Yeah.
But they already know right now what the pairing is going to be. And then you got the Americans who just kind of fly by the seat of their own pants. There's no messaging behind it. Like, they've tried different things over the years. like they've tried having a softer approach to, you know, captainship. You know, that's been hit or miss. They've had a dictatorship with Tom Watson. Then everybody just threw him under the bus. It seems like the players kind of have way too much of a say sometimes on the
American team. It's like the NBA. Like the coach really doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, but it doesn't really work for the Ryder Cup.
Right.
So I think there's a reason why we all the Europeans are never the story off the course. It's because they're better run. They better buy into the system, and the Americans just are. They're fucking clueless. I'm just going to say it. Like, their system sucks.
Yeah, but here's the deal. So this is a bunch of new babies now, man. Fucking new guys. Like,
I agree with you.
Let's wash away the past. And, like, now we're set up for the next 20 years of run. You know what I mean? With these guys. Well, not 20 years. Let's not get crazy.
I'm just talking about captains, though. Now, so as far as these two captains, though. So as far as Steve Stricker, I think he's a beta. So he absolutely is. Yeah. So I'm a little worried about him. I mean, he already got the Brooks Bryson beef. Can he squash that? He got Phil as an assistant captain. Is he going to try to, you know, take over, make a power move or something?
Yeah, probably, because he's Phil and he's awesome.
So that's not great. But then you got the R side. You know, you got Patrick Harrington. He's been a vice captain for a couple Ryder Cups, so he knows the system. I think the only concern with him, though, is he's a tinkerer. And he always was tinkering his golf swing and it ended up ruining his career. Like, is he going to maybe deviate from the plan one too many times? Maybe. I mean, I could see him doing that. But overall,
I feel like that's what the U.S. doesn't do, though. Like, when did he tinker? I feel like they stick with it, whether it fucking works or not. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I feel like they stick with the initial plan, whether they should make a shift or not.
Well, I mean, whatever it is, it doesn't really work. I mean, Europe's won 9 of the last 12.
I know. So, how ridiculous is that?
I know, it's ridiculous. So as far as team management, which is a very vital function of the Ryder Cup, Europe crushes the Americans. It's not even close. I think it's the biggest edge they have. And it's not close. So, all right. Fine. How about intangibles? Yeah, drama, current form, injury, blah, 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 blah. So who's got the edge with intangibles, Europe or the United States?
United States.
Why?
Because, man, we come together when everybody counts us out and down.
They come together when they win.
You watch. We're going to come together. You watch. You watch. You watch. I'm telling you, bro. I have a feeling like we're going to wax them. I'm telling you. Like, what's the big thing? Like Brooks and Bryson don't get along? Like, who gives a shit? That's two players. They can separate them out. Bryson's a fucking weirdo who whatever. But guys still respect his game. They think he's probably a nice enough guy. He's just a goof dick to them. You know what I mean? Morikawa with the injury is worrisome. Mm-hmm. Brooks with the injury, worrisome. But
how about Spieth can't find the center of the club face anymore either?
He's going to be laser focused.
How about Dana Berger and Scottie Scheffler are both losing over a stroke per round putting the last 12 rounds?
I'm not worried about that. Slow green.
Okay. All right. You're not worried about all the rookies on the team?
Nah, absolutely not. We need fresh blood. We've lost 9 of 12. Get out the old guy. Let's go.
All right.
Let's go.
I would agree with you on that. I think actually the lack of experience is going to help this team.
They don't know what they don't know.
There's so much tissue on the U.S. side and so much failure, too.
Yeah.
It's probably going to help having new guys. But I think you touched on a couple of key points. There's already drama with this team. You got Koepka with his comments, you know, which are out of context, by the way.
They are out of context.
Reacts to it, but still, it made noise when it didn't have to. And then you got Bryson, who I think is more focused on the long drive contest than this thing. And he's already going to Venus. Says, "Oh, my hands hurt. You know, I kind of wrecked my hands." Okay, all right. That's not awesome. You got that distraction. You got nothing coming over from Europe. So then, as far as like momentum, you know, current form coming in, you're right. I don't know. We're gonna have Morikawa. I don't know. We're gonna have Brooks. There's two guys right there. Spieth has not been playing very well lately. Xander sneakily hasn't been very good since the Olympics either. I don't know. So I think some of the perceived like, oh, they're much better on paper. If they're not playing great coming in, that kind of continues. Like, they need to step up based on what they've been doing. Like, that's going to shrink the talent gap. And then as far as, you know, the Europeans go, listen, they got a lot of experience. They don't have as much talent, but Lee Westwood, Sergio Poulter, Casey, they've all been there before. They all know what it takes to get done. You know, they've done it in every which way, too. They've had blowouts. They've had close ones. You know, they've had comebacks, too. There's nothing that's going to phaze them at all with this thing. So, you know, I mean, there are some problems on the European team. Like, Hatton has been a disaster lately. So has been Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, dude, there's literally 3.5 guys that scare you. Who other than Rahm, Hovland, Rory and a half a Casey only because it's fucking the Ryder Cup. I mean, Poulter scares you a little bit just because, right? So there's four total, but five golfers. Who else scares you? Fitzpatrick? No.
I think Sergio. He usually turns it on the road.
Nah, I don't know.
He does.
Listen, you know I love Sergio. Sergio's my guy. Like, I love Sergio, but I'm not scared of him. And I love Lowry. Not scared of him. If Fleetwood? You're scared of Fleetwood?
All right. Well, fine. Let me turn around to you. Who scares you on the U.S. team?
All right.
Fact you're not answering that.
No. I'm just trying to go to the top to bottom. I want to make sure I hit all the guys. DJ? Why wouldn't DJ scare you? Why wouldn't DJ?
What's DJ's career record in the Ryder Cup? It's not good.
Not great, Bob. But he was with a bunch of old losers, and now he's the older guy. He's the senior guy, and yeah. he's.
That hurts calling Ricky an old loser, by the way.
Ricky is an old loser.
DJ was paired with Koepka a couple times. They never did anything.
It's fine.
I guess DJ in his what, like 8-12 record? Fine. That scares you.
7-9, I believe, is what it is.
Okay. All right. Who else scares you on the U.S. team?
So I would normally say Morikawa because he's the best iron player in the world. I just don't know what's going on with the injury. So we'll see with that. Cantlay, he's a legitimate serial killer. I'm afraid of him in many ways.
Okay.
Allegedly. Xander doesn't scare me that much, a little bit, just only because of the form. I mean, dude, he played for country for the gold medal. Like, this has got to mean just as much as a gold medal, right? He wants to beat Europe. JT scares the shit out of me. Bryson,
you already said JT, so
yeah, that's what I said. JT.
You've only named like two guys on the U.S. team that really.
No, I did. I said Cantlay.
That's
DJ Cantlay, JT, Bryson, Finau.
Bryson scares you.
Yeah.
Bryson hasn't won a single point.
Okay.
Any match.
Oh, but this is a different Bryson. This is pre-transformation.
He didn't win anything in the President's Cup.
Listen, I'm telling you right now, if Stricker does the right thing and he pairs him with the right partner,
okay,
they're gonna take all the points.
Once again, you are talking about Stricker and a litany of failures for the American side, making the right decisions with team management.
Yeah. I think, listen, man.
A lot of confidence over
there. Absolutely. It's Spieth, like what a magician. Like how, if you need a chip in off the green from 60 feet, name another golfer you want making that shot.
Ian Poulter.
You fucking liar. You would. There is no way with money on the fucking table, you're taking Spieth.
Didn't Ian Poulter hole off from the bunker at Medina to cap that comeback?
Yeah, but I don't care. But I'm saying like nine times out of 10, right? Blind squirrel finds a nut someday. Like, it happens. But listen, I'm telling you, man. I have the utmost confidence in this U.S. team.
All right. I don't think it's as big of an advantage as you think it is.
No, I know.
As far as on paper, like if we took them to a different golf course, not quite as strong as I think what my co-host is saying it is. But yeah, I mean, the golf course
factors in.
It does. But you're also saying a lot of names that's scary, and there's a lot of holes in that argument.
Listen, man, there's lots of holes in all my arguments. It doesn't matter.
All right. Like, why don't we take a break?
All right, let's take a break. And listen, Keeps offers a simple, stress-free way to keep your hair. Convenient virtual doctor consultations and medications delivered straight to your door every 3 months. You don't even have to leave your house. Low-cost treatment start just at $10 a month. And Keeps offers generic versions as well. Discreet packaging and proven results. Keeps has more 5-star reviews than any of its competitors. Prevention is the key, so treatments can take 4 to 6 months to see results. So act fast. And if you're ready to take action and prevent hair loss, go to Keeps. That's KEEPS.com/SGP to receive your first month of treatment for free. That's keeps.com/SGP to get your first month free. Keeps.com/SGP. I bet you Sean wish he had them as a sponsor about 6 or 7 years ago.
I mean, he was probably pulling his hair out with the Eagles performance yesterday. So, yeah, he could definitely use Keeps.
Well, I yelled at him because I told him he was principally responsible for all my Devonta Smith shares after me listening to him pump him up for a fucking week.
My apologies. It's not a fantasy football show, though. This is a golf show.
Whatever, man. Fucking listen. This is a degenerate show.
All right. So I don't think we need to go over the list of reasons why. Like, if the United States wins, we've kind of gone over it. The golf course sets up really well for them, and they're more talented. I mean, I think if one of Rahm and Rory no show, like,
you're just a wrap. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Or if the United States, so they're going to start off with foursomes. If the U.S. wins foursomes, which they repeatedly just get drummed by Europe in that format, if they get off to a fast start, like win like 3-1 in the morning, this could be a landslide. Because, I mean, it's going to be rocking. Then they go to four ball, which they're better at.
Right.
Yeah, it could. If the U.S. gets a real hot start, I think it'd be a landslide. But let's actually force you now start thinking about a world where you and I are really unhappy on Sunday afternoon, not only losing our bets, but the good old USA loses. So what in your mind would have to happen for Europe to win or for the U.S. to blow it?
Well, isn't technically they still win if we tie because they're the last owners, right?
Yeah, but fine. All right, fine. What in your mind for needs to happen for the Ryder Cup, for the Europe to retain the Ryder Cup? And don't say tie. Seriously, think about it.
No, I am. But that to me is like worse. Like, can you imagine like whoever it is on 18 blowing the putt just to tie it and they get to keep it? They didn't get to, they didn't outright win it. Like, anyway, that's I had a weird nightmare about that the other day. Not like a real nightmare. No, just like sitting around thinking about it. I was like, oh man, that's the worst case scenario. I mean, really, I mean, it would have to be. I really think it would have to be injury related. Like Morikawa's not the same, right? Like he can't hit his irons. He doesn't look right. Brooks is forcing himself to play, right? And I mean, look, he deserves the right to say he wants to play. But if that knee and wrist isn't right, I mean, dude, if I hit that route he hit, I wouldn't play golf for a fucking year. You know what I mean? Like
it was a giant route.
It was a tree trunk. It was ridiculous. And then, you know, I mean, think about it, like rookies like Scotty and Berger and goober ass English just don't show up and they can't. I mean, I don't see those guys even. They got to be singles only. So, I mean, really, it's got to be Xander doing his normal choke artist routine. Love you, Jeff. DJ kind of being the blase DJ that we've seen over the past 12 months, right? Where he just seems kind of checked out. Hopefully he can get it up, get his energy up and go. And then, I mean, really for Europe to go out and win it, I mean, Hatton's going to come back to form. Casey's going to have that. So Casey, Sergio, Poulter, even a little bit of Lowry, right? Like bulldogs, like those type of guys, like just show up and just get in the mental midgetry that we have on the U.S. team, right? Like the guys who are bothered easily by someone calling you by someone else's name and getting them thrown out of the park and having to have the head of your league put a memo out about it.
Like, and that's a guy you're scared of, by the way.
I'm scared of how he can play if we manage him right. If we do alternate shot and we let him get off the box, and then we have a good wedge player, so he doesn't have to hit that goddamn shot. And then we pair. We're gonna get down to the pairings here in a minute, right? There's a couple of them that I think would work. So I think that's what has to happen, right? The U.S. has to do the injury, right? DJ still has to be blasé. Xander has to do his choking shit. JT can't putt. Finau goes back to not putting. And that's it. I mean, and the Bulldogs for Europe show up, irritate them, have holes that they shouldn't fucking have, get under their skin and steal it. They really have to steal it.
All right. I think if the wind blows, that's a big problem for the U.S. I think that takes away a lot of their ball striking advantage, and that kind of makes it more of an up and down game.
Yeah,
I mean, that wouldn't be great. I think they need this thing to have lots of birdies. If not, it's going to be a lot tighter than
maybe. I mean, how many Texas guys we got here? We got Scottie Scheffler.
You really going this angle?
Yeah, why not?
Actually, that's bullshit because DeChambeau's a Texas guy. So
okay. All right. So
he can't scramble for shit. He's not.
Yeah, no, but it's not about that. It's about keeping the low blow fight and getting it out of the wind.
What are you talking about?
I'm sure he fucking can.
All right, fine.
All right, listen, as I keep grasping at straws here and he's just trying to poke me and irritate me, let's talk about PicksWise. PicksWise is the number one app for sports betting picks, helmed by a team of trend-watching, data-devouring sports fanatics, giving you the who, how, and why behind every prediction for every game, every day, and every sport. Loaded with best bets, props, and parlays, you can find in-depth analysis on every game all for free. You found your pick? Search the latest sportsbook promos to sign up for an account and compare the odds and finally place your bet. Download the free PicksWise app now to make your next bet better. PicksWise backs responsible gambling. Do you have a gambling problem? If so, call 1-800-GAMBLER. And speaking about picks wise, you know, you want to take that knowledge and put it somewhere, go to Prize Picks. Turn your picks into real cash with Prize Picks. It's my favorite daily fantasy app. It's fast and it's easy and it all stats with Prize Picks. Simply pick 2 to 5 players and decide if they will go over or under their stat projection. The more players you pick, the more you can win, up to 10 times your money. Prize Picks is the only way I play. Use promo code SGP to receive 100% instant deposit match up to $100. That's Prize Picks, promo code SGP.
All right. Let's move on to pairings, because this now rolls into betting.
Yes.
Is trying to predict who is going to be where. And there's talk and advice from some people are giving that, you know, before you bet all of these, like who's going to have the most points or anything, you should wait to see what happens on Thursday.
Why? You're going to lose the number.
Well, that's the problem. The books are going to move it.
That's terrible advice.
Yeah, it's not good advice. You have to predict now. Yeah. And you can do it. You can basically just look back at past Ryder Cups, past President's Cups. You can kind of get a good idea who's going to play what. And the goal is you got to pick a guy who's going to play at least 4 or 5 sessions. That's the only way you got a shot at actually winning that. You know, yeah. That. So why don't we start with the U.S. side?
Okay.
So Friday morning, they're going to start with alternate shot. Boston Capper, if you're Steve Stricker, who do you send out there Friday morning for alternate shot?
For alternate shot, T-Box, number one.
Short par 4.
Okay.
Probably a lot of guys are going to be using less than driver. Set a wedge.
I want to. Now, what time does the next team go out?
It's just whenever they're done with their approach yet. I think it's like every 10 minutes.
All right. So I want. I want Bryson.
You want Bryson alternate shot?
Uh huh.
Okay. You have to explain that one.
I will. So this is a. I don't know. I haven't completely thought this through yet, but I think there's a way you can use it because the problem is he hits the ball too close to the fucking hole, right? That's what we say all the time. When we watch that fucking, what was that god awful celebrity thing we watched where Aaron Rodgers was chipping better than he was, you know, or had wedge play better than him. So if you can get. I don't know if I want him going off the box at first.
The problem is if he missed the fairway.
I know. Yeah, he's completely
penalty off. See, it's not a penalty shot, but you're in a bunker and you're laying up.
Yeah.
That's a problem for alternate shot.
All right. So I guess let's go Cantlay and. God, it's gross. This is painful.
I can tell you prepared. It's Steve Stricker. Very prepared for the U.S. team right here.
Listen, man, like I thought I had the answer, but then like, as we were talking through shit, I was all like, nah, you're right.
Do you want me to go through teams?
No.
All right.
You know what? Fuck it. I want Finau and Spieth.
Finau and Spieth?
Yep.
Why?
Because Finau's long off the tees, doing everything okay, and Jordan can do shit around the green.
Okay. All right. Okay.
And if he's bad off the box, then Finau's good enough in the rough and penalty areas. He's there plenty. Like he's not like dead if he's way off to the right. If Spieth puts him there, you know what I mean?
Okay. All right. So that's one team. You want Finau and Spieth going off. It's number one.
Oof, that's weird. And then I guess Cantlay and Xander just because.
That's two.
Yeah.
Okay. Man, yeah. Two more you gotta do.
I know, but I keep going back to that Finau and Spieth one because you know JT and Spieth are going to be together. So it's just fucking fake.
Yeah, that's the thing. So the U.S. team always plays it safe.
I know.
Their opening session. So here's what's going to be. I think I have it right here.
All right.
They're going to go JT and Spieth.
JT, Spieth.
Xander and Cantlay. Koepka and Finau played pretty well in France. They're probably going to pair them again. And they're experienced.
Yeah, that's good.
And they're only going to send out. I mean, Xander and Cantlay are technically rookies, but they played a President's Cup. They trust him. There's only going to be one rookie that goes out there. I think they're going to pair DJ with Morikawa. I think that's actually a decent alternate shot team.
You think they're going to leave Bryson on the bench for the alternate shot?
Yeah, because you use him at 4 ball.
I think it's a mistake. You can use him at 4 ball too. He can play all 5.
Given his match play record, the fact that it's alternate shot, if you're out of position, you're basically dead on a hole. I don't want to use
Bryson. But if he's
the same thing happened. They did the same shit with Bubba on alternate shot
right.
And France and a couple others. It doesn't work. So Bryson, what do we know about Bryson? Makes a lot of bogeys, makes a lot of birdies. You know what that's good for? Four ball. Not good for foursomes. Don't put Bryson anywhere near a fucking alternate shot format this week. Please, for the love of God.
See, I think, but what if he's on?
Fine. If he does well in four, same for the afternoon. If he just plays weather, then you can use him on Saturday. Don't send him out first fucking group. All right. We need to get a big lead.
Yeah, fine. So you think Morikawa and DJ?
I do. I think that's actually a good pairing. I think because DJ is pretty long at the box, Morikawa's got his irons. Now it's contained in the fact that does Morikawa have it?
Have it.
But yeah, I think that's for.
All right. So let's say he's injured. I'm going Berger, right?
I mean, he's playing, so he.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. I think Berger's sneaky.
Wow. So Berger, I like for the four ball. Well, that's actually another conversation. I wish they were doing four ball first.
Yeah.
Because then you send out the safe pairs.
Yeah.
And then maybe you send out the rookies there the afternoon. So, but I think a JT Berger alternate shot is actually pretty good.
So yeah, they're not gonna break Spieth in them up. We just talked about that. They're gonna fucking.
I'm telling you what I think. What I would do. Like, and now the U.S. doesn't go this way, but Berger's always gonna be in the fairway, and JT's the best iron player on the planet. Berger's a decent scrambler. He can putt a little bit too. Nope. I think that's a really good alternate shot team, but I think they're gonna save that for four ball. They played together at the President's Cup. Stricker was the captain on that President's Cup team 2017. I think if there's a fit for Berger, they're gonna put him with JT as like a natural fit.
I could see that.
Okay. So you want him with a four ball then?
What about the
that's one where you want to put rookies? Because then there's a little bit less pressure.
So this isn't Little League. We don't have to play fucking rookies, right?
They always do.
Why?
Okay, so Europe tried to do this back in 99 when they just played. They were in a similar situation to this year's Europe teams. The fact like their back end was terrible, so they sat like three guys until Sunday, yeah. and it went awful for them. No one ever does that again. They always play their guys. So you mentioned earlier, they're like, yeah, I want Scotty and Harris English to sit on the bench on Sunday. It's not going to happen. They have to play. You have to fit them in somewhere.
Well, why wouldn't we just put them on alternate shots so at least you could pair them with somebody decent who could fucking pick them up?
Problem is there's more pressure on them. Four ball, there's less pressure. You just play their own ball, and if they
pressure,
suck on a hole.
It's the Ryder Cup. That's the whole point. The whole fucking thing is pressure.
But there's more pressure in alternate shot because if you fuck up.
Yeah,
and four ball, if you fuck up, whatever. You just pick up your ball. It's fine. You're partnering good. You're going to birdie. So the rookies are going to be more on four ball. So here's what I think it's going to So I think afternoon on Friday, I think you pair up JT and Berger. I think that's actually a pretty decent team. They play together.
Yeah, I like that too.
Probably roll Xander and can't lay out again. Nope. That's good. I think Scheffler and Finau might make a good team. I think Finau's long at the box.
They're like the same player.
I think that works for alternate shot though.
That's not alternate
kinda,
shot.
Kind of, that's true. Well, Scheffler makes a lot of birdies and Finau makes a lot of birdies.
Yeah, that's true.
That's fine. And then Bryson Harris English. Harris English is the babysitter this tournament. And he roll out Bryson, and Harris English makes a lot.
I think Finau and Bryson would make for a good pairing.
All right, fine. I mean, if you want to throw two rookies together and Scheffler and Harris English, that could work too. And then Finau and Bryson. I mean, other way. I mean, Finau, Scheffler make a lot of birdies. Bryson makes a lot of birdies. Harris English makes a lot of birdies. I think that's actually pretty good for the U.S.
And Finau doesn't hate anybody. Look at that guy. That guy's like the nicest dude on the planet. He doesn't hate Bryson.
Right.
I mean,
yeah, you could stick Finau with Brooks and you stick Finau with Bryson. He's babysitting two guys this week.
That'd be fucking terrible. Poor Finau.
All right. Well, I'm over to Europe. This one I had a little harder time doing.
Oh, wait. So on Saturday, we can change it, right?
Like, yeah, Saturday's all bets are off, though. This is just what I'm doing Friday, what I think. And then based on what happens Friday, then. Either Europe's going to deviate from the plan or they're just going to keep rolling with what they're doing. It's just Friday.
Gotcha.
So I think of the U.S. team, who I think is going to play both sessions on Friday, I think JT is going to play both sessions. I think Finau is going to play both sessions. I think Xander and Cantlay play both sessions. I think, unfortunately, this is another reason why I want four ball. I would like four ball first because the U.S. wants to send out their most experienced guys. I'd rather have Brooks in four ball. In case it just fucking sucks and he has nothing, then at least the partner can kind of carry him. you can't hide when you're an alternate shot if you're playing bad. So that's a little risky if we're going to have Morikawa and Koepka going out with alternate shot. But
yeah, that's true.
That's what we're doing. So why don't we move over to Europe? So foursomes for Europe. So I got Rory and Ian Poulter have been a pretty popular pairing. They've been a popular pairing for the Europeans lately. I think for alternate shot, they've been sticking Poulter in that format the last couple of years. They've been playing four ball. So I like that. They've been trying to put Sergio with better putters the last couple of Ryder Cups. So I think you stick with Matthew Fitzpatrick. And that's another one too. Fitzpatrick got completely rattled in 16. So I think he needs a little of a mentor to kind of guide him. And I think Sergio and Fitzpatrick.
So you want Sergio to be his mental guide?
He's an older guy.
Yeah, that's fine.
Well, it's more, it fits that Sergio needs a good putter.
Yeah.
And I think Sergio and Ian Poulter, that's just too crazy.
Oh, that's perfect.
I think you need to mellow out Sergio a little bit. I think of Matthew Fitzpatrick, you know, but then you can, you know, Sergio's a little fiery. He can raise, you know, Fitzpatrick kind of like elevate his game there too. So Hoblin, I think is going to play both, but I think you're going to stick with experienced guys. So in foursomes, I think you're going to stick with Paul Casey.
Yeah, I would say Casey, definitely.
And then John Rahm, I was trying to figure out who he could play with foursomes. I ended up on Shane Lowry. I don't love it. But I think Lowry's kind of an easygoing guy. Rahm's a little fiery. If stuff goes a little sideways, I think Lowry can kind of calm him down. And I think Lowry's a little better alternate shot guy just because he's not a grip of putter, but he's such a good ball striker, and Rahm's a good putter.
Yeah.
So I end up with that for my European pairings. So.
I like those. I like all of those. Those are fun.
Okay.
See how much easier it was on the European team?
I had a hard time with the Euros.
No, like that makes perfect sense. Like, there's not too many other pairings. Like, what are you going to do? You're not going to stick Hatton and Hovland together. You're certainly not sticking Rahm and Hatton together. That fucking, by the third hole, that shit could be fucking off.
That would be fun. Like, that would be a lot of fun, just two guys just hating life.
Exactly.
All right, so as far as four ball, though, in the afternoon, so I mentioned, you know, Hovland's got to be an experienced guy. You got to play Lee Westwood at some point. They're not going to sit everybody on. So Hovland and Lee Westwood. Paul Casey and Hatton played together over in France. I think they went 1-1. Casey's kind of an easygoing guy. Hatton's fiery. You know, Hatton's kind of playing bad lately, too. Stick with Paul Casey, a little more consistent. There you go. They always tend to stick Rory with the new guys.
Hatton and Poulter?
That could work, too. But the problem is you'd have to break up the Rory Poulter team. I mean, unless you want Poulter playing four ball, too.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
See, I don't know if I really want that. I think I only want Poulter on foursomes. Okay. But anyway, so they end up. Rory seems to get stuck with like the guys over in Europe don't play well over here. So in 2016 it was Thomas Peters, which was great. In 2018 they stuck Rory off with Torbjørn Olesen first. So I think Rory's gonna have to babysit Bjørn Wiesberger in the four ball, and then I think. You gotta play Fleetwood somewhere. I think he's gonna get stuck with Rahm to create a huge nightmare for you. You love Rahm. You hate Tommy Fleetwood. But again, I think that can play all right. Fleetwood's kind of easy going. Rahm can be a hothead. If Rahm starts,
Tommy Fleetwood's gonna say something to John Rahm.
I think he can kind of calm down, keep him loose.
Listen, okay, I hope they fucking melt down.
All right. Any European pairings you like, or have you just not given a single thought because it's not going to matter?
No, seriously. Like, I mean, most of the ones that you said in the beginning, I thought that I liked, except I like, I want Poulter in both. I just think he's such a bulldog. I really do, man. Like, I think he's a bulldog. I think he's built for this. You know what I mean? Like, he's legitimately built for it. So.
All right. I mean, if they've trot Poulter out twice on Friday, I think that's a problem for Europe. I think that means things are going pretty poorly.
Maybe. I mean, but you don't want to see Fleetwood twice. You don't want to see Lowry twice, Westwood twice. I don't want to see Fitzpatrick twice if I'm a Europe guy. I don't really think I want to see Hatton. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, dude, I want a proven winner. Like, not a lot of these guys are in great form, man.
So in this little setup here, the only guys you're playing twice here is Rahm, McIlroy, Casey, Hovland.
Yeah.
Everybody else playing once.
That's fair. All right.
So just match him up pretty good. Make sure just figure out, you know, have those four guys be like anchor. Your core guys, and then just start mixing and matching there. I think that's how Europe's going to win. Is just nailing.
They're not going to win. What are you talking about?
That's how they if they will win, sir.
Sorry.
If they want to win, I think that's how the system they need to do. They need to play those four guys twice, which is going to where you want to isolate your bets of low European, low rookie European, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Everybody else is probably just playing twice in 2 days and then just comes out in singles after that.
The U.S. is going to crush the singles. But listen, before we get into the sessions and all that shit, listen, after years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by big wireless providers, if we've learned anything, is that there's always a catch. So when I first heard of Mint Mobile offers premium wireless service starting at just $15 a month, I thought, what's the catch? But after speaking with them and using their service, it all made sense. There isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they're the first company to sell wireless service online only by cutting out the retail stores. There's no crazy overhead cost to get passed down to you in the form of mystery fees. Instead, Mint just passes you on the sweet savings direct to you. For people looking for extra savings, Mint Mobile offers premium wireless for just $15 a month. All plans come with unlimited talk, text, and high-speed data delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and keep your same phone number along with all your existing contacts. And if you're not 100% satisfied, Mint Mobile has you covered with their 7-day money-back guarantee. Switch to Mint Mobile and get premium wireless service starting at just $15 a month. Get your new wireless plan for just $15 a month and get your plan shipped to your door for free. So go to mintmobile.com/sportsSGP. That's mintmobile.com/sportsSGP to cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/sportsSGP. All right.
All right. So what else are we talking about? I got nothing else. You got anything?
Really?
All right.
Oh, actually, I do. Odds Crowd. Are you the best football bettor in the U.S.? The folks at Odds Crowd are challenging you to prove it this fantasy or this football season with their epic free-to-play fantasy betting contest. Each week of the season, there's a $350 NFL contest and a $250 contest. The boys here at SGPN are all taking part, so you can try to claim bragging rights over us, too. Here's how it works. Once you enter the contest, you track your bets against real odds and lines, much like you would with any pick trading app or tracking app. The most profitable players rise up the leaderboard, and if you have the highest profit at the end of the contest, you win. And Odds Crowd isn't just fantasy betting contest. It's a social app for sports bettors, free to download, and you can live group chat with other bettors, track your bets, set up private fantasy contests with your buddies, and much more. So download the app for free and go to oddscrowd.com today. There we go.
All right. I actually have one more comment.
What you got?
Why don't we close the show with this? So why don't we talk about, I mean, you've made it very abundantly clear who you're betting on.
Yeah, dude, rooting for the laundry, baby. Come on.
I understand that. Okay. So why don't we give a little bit of advice for people that fall into three categories, okay?
Yeah.
You got United States fans who actually care about the results of this tournament. Okay. Yeah. You got European fans who care about it too. Yeah. And then everybody else. So you're degenerate bettors, just want to make cash. Yeah. People in Canada, people in Mexico, people in Australia.
Yeah.
Odd stuff. Okay. If you are an American fan who cares about the outcome of this Ryder Cup and actually will be rooting for the U.S., just bet the U.S. Okay, yeah. Don't.
But there's different ways to bet too. If you don't like the, if you can't get
there, there is different ways. But at the end of the day, bet on something where the Americans win. Okay, yeah, it is absolutely agonizing. As someone who's actually done it, on that has profited and lost big because of it, it sucks. In 2014, I hammered Europe, and I made a lot of money off that. But that was not fun. That U.S. team was awful, and it sucked to lose, and it sucked to see the Europeans spray champagne on each other. It sucked to see Jamie Donaldson all hungover the next day, thinking that maybe that could have been Ricky Fowler, whatever. 2016, I did the same thing. I'm like, I've been seeing the same movie before. I'm just going to bet the Europeans, and the Europeans got trounced, lost all my money, and I couldn't even enjoy the U.S. win because I lost the bet. So I promised myself after that, I am never betting Europe again. As an American fan who cares about the U.S. winning, I'm betting the U.S. I don't care how much the juice is. That's how it is. Same thing if you're in Europe. You could disagree with everything my co-host had to say. And maybe some of the things my co-host had to say was true, but you still have to bet Europe anyways. You're not going to be able to live with yourself. Yep. Bet your laundry. My co-host is right on that. But for everybody else, we'll talk about the fair and objective way to measure this line, because it is right now between minus 180 and minus 200 for the U.S. side. That is a lot of juice, my friend, for a team that has proven time and time again to always step on their dicks at the Ryder.
Oh, boy. Yeah, no, look, you're right. And here's the thing. I mean, look, I'm definitely rooting for the U.S., but you're crazy if you don't think – if I see a matchup that I think I can exploit, I'm not going to take European for some points.
Yeah, I don't even know if I want to do that.
Oh, I could definitely do that. Why not?
All right.
Why not? Listen,
if it's a close match, you're not going to want to do it.
Oh, fuck no. Not if it's a close match. I'm talking like Friday. Like, once I can get some pairings out on Friday, I'm like, all right, I can throw a little money at this one, throw a little money at that one. Like, yeah. All right. Like, I could do that one.
Or if the U.S. is up like 10-6 going to singles and you see, like, I don't know, Rory versus Harris English, you know, slam Rory.
I don't know. Maybe. That Goobix plays somehow. I don't know how he fucking does it.
Fine. You see Rom versus Xander. You just slam Rom. Just
slam it. Let's go. All right. So Wednesday, big betting show. We covering the DraftKings?
No, we're not doing DFS.
Okay. Thank God. We're not doing that. I looked at that shit today. I was like, you got to be fucking kidding me.
That's an all betting show.
Yeah, all betting show. So yeah, that's it, man. Come back fucking. So I guess it'll be in your feed on Thursday. Happy to be back. Fucking let's make some money. Go fucking Team USA. Talk to you boys Thursday morning.